Glad you're here at church today. I want you to imagine with me just a few things, a few what ifs today as we get started. How would things be if certain things hadn't happened? What if this hadn't happened? What if we didn't have any air conditioning in our homes or in our cars? I mean, today we might not miss that, but here in a few months we might. What if Peyton Manning had not retired? What if Villanova had not beaten Kansas University last night? It happens. And more so with Kansas University. I don't understand. They make it to the, you know, the final few games and then they just fall apart. I don't know. But what if smartphones had not been invented? That might not be too bad. What if she had not said yes to the "will you marry me" question? There are a plethora of what if questions in life, of what if this hadn't happened or what if that hadn't happened. In fact, I was interested to find out there's actually a field of study called alternative history. Historians will gauge the importance of an event, a certain, you know, event in life, and determine, well, how important that was by kind of considering what if that had not happened. There's actually a genre of writing where authors will write a book about that concept. What if this hadn't happened? Maybe you've seen a television show, kind of a what if television show. You can Google this, alternative history. Don't Google it right now, you're in church. But what if the Civil War had not taken place? What if Adolf Hitler had not lost? What if JFK had survived the assassination? On and on the speculation can go. Well, this Easter Sunday, this morning, I want to do this. I want to take a few minutes and talk about what life would be like if there had been no empty tomb that morning. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, if there was no resurrection, no Easter Sunday morning, what life would be like? Would that make a difference today? We don't have to look very far. We can read from the writings of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have your Bible with you this morning, that's where we're going to be the most of our time together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But before we get there, I want to tell you kind of how it's going to go this morning. If you've been in church for quite a while or attend church elsewhere, perhaps, you know, you realize that oftentimes as the preacher, the pastor is going through the message, when you fill in that last blank or when you read the last verse, everybody kind of closes their Bibles, they put on their shoes, they pack up their campsite, and they get ready to head home, right? This morning, maybe it's a trick play, I don't know, but we're actually going to run through the outline twice. And so the first time we're kind of going to go through some things, and then the second time will be quite quickly. I don't mean to trick you this morning, but the second pass might make all the difference in the world for somebody and their eternity today. So don't check out until the final song, okay? So number one, here's the first point this morning. If Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, church makes no sense. Church makes no sense. Imagine if the tomb was not empty. The resurrection did not happen. Jesus was still there. Then what we do every Sunday, getting together, what we're doing right now, worshiping together in song, giving an offering, hearing a sermon, encouraging one another, coming together as the church, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, if the tomb was not empty, none of that makes any sense whatsoever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, Paul writes this, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." In other words, church makes no sense. And maybe you're thinking, well, hey, you know, in spite of that, it's fun, Seth. It's fun to get together and experience church together. It's enjoyable. Well, friends, you can have fun at Chuck E. Cheese. You can have fun in somebody's backyard at a barbecue. I mean, we can get together and we can, you know, play horseshoes or other things and we can have fun when we get together with a group of people. You might be thinking, well, church wouldn't be a total loss because, you know, we learn some good things about life. We learn how to do life better, how to be wise and make good choices when we come to church. Well, yeah, you can also watch the Brady Bunch on Netflix, right? And get some good, wholesome values. Marsha, I mean, we can learn in a lot of different settings. You can read a Joel Osteen book. You can read a leadership book. You can learn how to make all kinds of money by going to a seminar. You can learn in a lot of different places. You can go golfing with your buddies and work on your slice and fix things there. I mean, why gather together every Sunday morning and worship a dead guy if the resurrection didn't happen? And so alternative history says this: if we're talking about the resurrection, that if the tomb was not empty, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then church makes no sense. Let's, flesh this out for just a moment. Maybe you weren't aware of this, but many of the hospitals that exist today, a lot of the hospitals were started by churches. And so if the resurrection didn't happen, and if church makes no sense, if church were to go away, then many of the hospitals that we care about and that we go to and that their doctors that work there, many of them would not have been started. Most of them, if you look back to their roots, were started by churches. Many colleges today as well. If you look at the first 106 of the first 108 colleges that were started in the United States of America, they have their history in church. Princeton, Yale, Harvard, just to name a few, were started by churches. So if the resurrection didn't happen and church didn't exist, hospitals, colleges would likely go away. Orphanages, food pantries, homeless shelters, many of these were started by churches. Well, we could take that a little farther and say, well, the United States of America might not exist either. And I don't want to go too far down that road because we're talking about the resurrection today. But friends, this country back in the day was founded on the hope for religious freedom. You can look at the Mayflower. While they were still on the boat, they signed the Mayflower Compact, which says this. I'm paraphrasing this first portion, but why we're here, the reason that we're coming here, and then I quote, is for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Paul makes this point much more concise than I do. He says, if Jesus has not been resurrected, your preaching, your sitting here today and listening to a sermon is in vain. Your faith is in vain. Church makes no sense if the resurrection hadn't happened. Number two, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, I'm a false witness. And I say I as a pronoun to include all of us, you, me, we, I, them, anyone who speaks about Jesus Christ. If the resurrection did not happen, it's a false witness. Verses 15 and 16. If Christ was not resurrected, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And so if Jesus didn't resurrect, then all of a sudden that makes everything about Jesus Christ, all of us who follow Jesus Christ, it makes us false witnesses. Not only that, it means there's no heaven. There's no hope. There's no purpose in life. Here's my third point this morning. If Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, I'm not forgiven. Once again, using this pronoun, I, you, me, we, everyone, anyone is not forgiven. Because if Jesus did not resurrect, then the transaction that was supposed to take sin away has not been completed. If Jesus did not resurrect, the transaction supposed to take our sins away has not been completed. Verse 17 says this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That means the dumb things that we've done, which we've all done dumb things. You've all done dumb things. I don't mean to point the finger. I've got four pointing back at me. But we've all done dumb things. And if Jesus has not been resurrected, then those things are still on our record. I know that we have all kinds of people here this morning. We have people here that perhaps come to church a few times a year, and we are thrilled that you are here. Maybe you weren't planning on coming to church this morning. Maybe a friend or family member said, hey, do you want to go to breakfast? And you're like, hey, sure. You got in the car, and where are we going? It's like, well, we're going to breakfast, but we're going to church first. If that is you, we are thrilled that you are here this morning. If you're still hungry and you don't go to lunch or breakfast afterward, go to Long's Park. We'll have plenty of food there. We have people on the far other spectrum perhaps as well. And maybe you were kind of born into the church. Like your mom was pregnant with you. And on her way to church one morning, it was like, I think I'm having a baby. And she checked you into the nursery that morning. And so you were born and raised in the church. All over. We have people here this morning from all over. From all understandings of who God is. In church a long time, in church a very short time. But we all have one thing in common. We have all messed up. We've all made mistakes. And if Jesus has not been resurrected, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, we're all in a heap of trouble. There's a bill in our life, our sin debt has not yet been paid. I read a story recently about Cornelius Anderson III. And back in the year 2000, Cornelius was arrested, tried, and convicted for burglary. And so at his sentencing, the judge said to go home and await instructions as to where he was supposed to report to turn himself in for prison. And so Cornelius goes home, and days pass, weeks pass, months pass, years pass. He gets married, he has children, he gets a job, he learns a trade, he learns carpentry, he starts his own business, he's a taxpayer, he's an upstanding citizen, and things are going well. But his attorney, who was interviewed about this later, he said, "I told Cornelius, eventually they will come for you. They will come for you. And so you better be ready." And come they did. In July of 2013, the Missouri Department of Corrections, as they were making preparations to release Cornelius from prison and realized he was not there, they sent a SWAT team to arrest him at his home, and with guns drawn, Cornelius was taken into custody and they took him to his new home in the penitentiary. I wonder if that's what our lives would be like if the resurrection had not happened, if there was no empty tomb, if there was no Easter. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short. And it's kind of like, someday they're going to come and get me. Someday the spiritual SWAT team is going to show up and take me into custody. If the resurrection had not happened, if there was no empty tomb. I imagine some perhaps this morning are wondering, well, wait a minute, isn't the cross enough? I mean, we talk about the sacrifice on the cross. Isn't the cross enough? Doesn't that pay for my sins? Well, actually, the resurrection completed the transaction that began on the cross. And I want you to hear me say this, because sometimes we get confused. The power of sin is death. That's the power of sin. The Bible talks about how the power of sin is death. Sin is connected to death. In Scripture, we understand that death is separation from God. And so sin and death go hand in hand. Death is sin's power. And if death is the power of sin, then in order to beat sin, you've got to beat death. And so Jesus, by His resurrection, He conquers death, which shows He has the power over sin as well. Over and over in Scripture, Jesus looked at people and He said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven." And there's a lot of people that thought He was faking. Who is He to have the authority to say that? Who is He to have the power to do that? And when He resurrected, He proved He had the ability to pay that debt when He beat death. He overcame death. He has the power to overcome sin. Going back to the alternative history point of view, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, if there was no empty tomb, there is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no salvation, there is no eternal life in heaven. Number four this morning, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, my life has no purpose. My life has no purpose. If the tomb was not empty, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, there's no Easter, then really my life has no purpose. Verses 18 and 19. Again, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then those also who have fallen asleep, that means died, if those also who have died in Christ have perished, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If our hope is in Christ and He did not resurrect from the dead, we of all people are most to be pitied. My life has no purpose. Paul says we're wasting our time. Why be good to your neighbor? Why love your family? Why love your friends? Why treat your coworkers well? Why not try to do anything and everything to get ahead? Because in the end, we're all going to die. It's going to be over, right? If Christ did not resurrect it. Verse 32 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I mean, let's just party it up. If Christ has not been resurrected and my life has no purpose, if all this is just some elaborate hoax, then to go to church, to serve, to live selflessly, none of that has meaning or purpose. It's a waste of time. We got nothing if Christ has not been resurrected from the dead. But I have some good news for you this morning. This is the turning point. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so suddenly, everything changes. In fact, here's where I want to go back through and make a second pass in our notes this morning. Looking at that first line, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, I want you to cross out not. Okay? So if you're taking notes this morning, cross out not. Because if Jesus did resurrect from the dead, that changes everything else. If Jesus did resurrect from the dead, then cross out the word no in the first point. Church makes sense. Cross out the word false. I am a witness. Cross out the word not. I am forgiven. Cross out the word no. My life has purpose. And so let's go back through this quickly this morning. Here's the truth. If Jesus did resurrect from the dead, church makes sense. Showing up, getting together, giving, serving, loving one another, praying for each other, being the hands and feet of Jesus, and going and caring for other people in our communities and neighborhoods and around the world, going downtown and serving other people. All of it makes sense if Jesus did resurrect from the dead. I'm a witness. We are witnesses for Jesus Christ in the way that we treat other people and the way that we love other people, even difficult people to love. When we love other people, we're a light that shines in the darkness. We're a light that shines in their lives. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ. It is an honor and a blessed responsibility to do so. Number three, I'm forgiven. If Jesus did resurrect from the dead, I am forgiven because Jesus lived a perfect life. He became the perfect sacrifice for me on the cross. He completed the transaction that began on the cross. He won the victory over the grave. There is grace. There is mercy. We are 100% forgiven, those who choose to trust in Jesus Christ. Number four, my life has purpose. I'm not here by chance. This is no accident. I wasn't just born to kind of exist some menial life. I'm a child of the Almighty God. And my life has purpose. It doesn't matter if I'm in an executive chair or I'm in the second grade, rich or poor, wherever I am at in life, God has a purpose for my life. And so we live for His glory today so that one day we can live in His glory in heaven. Those of us who count Colorado home, we get like a bonus. We get to live in His glory in the beautiful state of Colorado. Amen? And then one day, we will live in His glory in heaven. So because the tomb was empty, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, everything changes. We're not here to remember some old historic event that makes no difference in life whatsoever. We are here to celebrate the single most important event in all of human history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And His resurrection makes all the difference in the world for every single one of us. And so here's the deal. Some of you've known this for a while. Some of you, this is new today. But for each and every one of us, this is good news all the time, right? I mean, even if you live to be 103 years old, it'll still be good news to you. Some of you perhaps are on the fence this morning. You're thinking, well, I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know if church is really that big of a deal. I don't know. I mean, this happened a long time ago. I just don't know if I can believe in this. Perhaps you're on the fence this morning. I want to speak to you for just a moment very, very directly. There needs to be a time in your life where you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There needs to be a point in your life where you put your faith in the risen Lord. That you get off the fence and you accept Him as Savior and Lord. The reason I say this is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Among other scriptures, Paul writes this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Friends, we need to put our trust, our faith, we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And maybe you're thinking, well, you know, again, it happened so long ago. How do we know it's true? I'd encourage you, if that's where you're at, to treat it like you would any other piece of history. To look at the facts. Check it out. Investigate, figure out what is true and what is myth. And friends, I believe I can promise you If you follow that way of thinking and you seek and search the truth of these events, you will find that Jesus lived and Jesus was killed by the Romans on a cross and Jesus came back to life again. There is so much evidence of Jesus being alive after His crucifixion. There's so much evidence, actually, that people have tried to come up with theories of what really happened. I mean, people today, there's a theory out there that believes that somehow, some way, right before Jesus was crucified, that God actually changed His face with someone else's so that He could continue to live. This is actually in the Quran. It talks about that. Well, Jesus was crucified, or so it appeared. That's what it says. And along that line of thinking, it's like, well, we think He did, but we're not sure. How that, I mean, was that, I have no idea where that line of thinking comes from. There's also a theory called the swoon theory. People believe that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He almost died, but He didn't quite die, and then He was taken down from the cross, not quite dead, and He was put in the tomb where for 3 days He recuperated until He was strong enough to move the stone and then came out and lived amongst the people again. The swoon theory. One thing about the Romans that you should know, they were very, very good at crucifying people. They were very, very good at killing people. And so the chances, there's no chance whatsoever that Jesus wasn't dead after His crucifixion. But here's the question. Why in the world would people all the way back, even in ancient times, why would they make up theories like this? What's the only sound idea or reason for that is because so many people saw Him alive after His resurrection, they had to find a way to explain it away. So many people saw Him alive. I'm telling you, friends, it happened. He lived, He died, He was buried, and He rose again from the grave. You may have a different hypothesis. Maybe you're thinking, well, Seth, have you heard of this one? Maybe so. But I guarantee you, if you search it out, if you look at the evidence, you will come to the conclusion Jesus did, in fact, live on this earth. He died here, and He was risen again. If you're in a place this morning where you just want some research or some help with that, there's a book out in the Welcome Center. It's called The Case for Easter. The Case for Easter. This is written by a journalist who used to be an atheist by the name of Lee Strobel. An atheist, didn't believe in God whatsoever. And he set out on a personal mission to determine, okay, what's the truth? And after his research as a journalist was completed, he came to the point where he believed Jesus is who He said He was. And Mr. Strobel became a Christian and he wrote some great books about his process of researching things. And this is one of those. If that's where you're at, we'd love for you to have a copy of this. They're out on the Welcome Center. So, if you're on the fence today, get off the fence. Make a decision about who you believe Jesus is. We are going to pray for you in just a moment. Here's the takeaway for today, and really this is for anyone who is seeking and searching for truth. Check the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Check the facts. Wherever you're at in your position, check the facts and figure out if what you have heard is truth. If you are on the fence, if you have any doubts whatsoever, check the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have nothing to hide. Jesus is not hiding anything. Check the facts. Maybe this morning you're ready to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe you're at the place where you need to say, hey, I've been hanging out, thinking about this for a while, I've been praying about it, I've been studying about it, and I'm at a point where I need to make that decision. If that's where you're at, we would encourage you, we would invite you to make that decision today. If you'd like prayer this morning, we'd invite you to come forward. We'd love to pray with you as well. Let's stand up together this morning. We're going to pray together, and then we'll continue in song.